The title of this message is Don't Let the Grass Grow Over Your Path, and this is part three of that. And as we said, this is based on Jesus giving his disciples not just the suggestion, but the command to watch and pray. And we get the title based on this as an illustration that I shared with you about the village in Africa, where the people were, pretty much everybody in that village had come to Christ, and they were people of prayer, and they just kind of would set their own path out in the grass and through the bush to go and pray, and they would spend time there, and that was their habit, to go and each day and spend time there in prayer. And they came up with this action, or I guess it would be tradition in a sense, and that they were pretty consistent with it, where they would notice if someone's path had grass growing over it, they would go to them and say, "Friend, I see grass growing on your path." And so the idea was that if they saw grass growing on their path, they know the path was not being used as much as it was before. So something is slacking, something's wrong, and they would go to them, right? And so we are our brother's keeper. And so we should be looking out for each other. Now, we don't do that with a judgmental attitude, but we do that in a heart of love. We want to make sure our brothers and sisters are okay. And so that's why over the years I've said it, I'm perfectly fine with, you know, people are creatures of habit, and they typically sit in the same place all the time, right? Have y'all noticed that? And so you can look around the room, and a lot of times you will know somebody's missing, right? You'll see that they're not there. Man, we encourage you, if you have a brother or sister that you see is missing, by all means, reach out to them, love them, offer to pray for them, check on them, see if everything is okay. All right, so we were talking about that, and just kind of in reviewing, we said that this whole thing comes from the fact that Jesus told them when he went out into to the Mount of Olives and into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told them, he said, "Listen, you guys are all going to forsake me. You're pretty much all going to run, and you know, you're going to scatter." And they said, "No, we won't." And then he tells Peter, "Yeah, and you will also deny me." And Peter denied that he would deny him, but we know that he ended up denying him, right? And so he warns them as they go out to pray, and they go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And the Bible says that Jesus took the disciples out there, but then he took James and John and Peter a little further than the rest. And then he himself told them, "I need you to watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation." And then he went a little further, and he begins to watch and pray, and he begins to show them what that looks like. And then you got to understand that with Jesus, he sees what's about to happen, but his disciples have no idea. They still at this point have no idea that their Messiah is about to be arrested and cruelly beaten and hung on a cross and crucified. They have no idea. Although he has told them many, many times, they still don't understand. They don't get it. They all have their own agenda, just like so many people do when they come to Christ or when they say they embrace Christianity. They never let go of their own agenda to embrace God's agenda. They may start going to church. They may say a sinner's prayer. They may do some religious things, but they never give up their own agenda for his agenda. And so that's what the disciples were doing. And then Jesus gives them this picture in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I believe it's, as I've said before, on purpose that he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Why? Because he wanted them to understand that the only way for the anointing to come out is that there has to be a pressing. There has to be a squeezing. Amen? And what is that squeezing? Is that him just trying to destroy me as a person? No, it's him trying to squeeze and press out everything that should not be in my life so that the anointing can rise up and take its place. And when that happens, then I am able, more than able, to do whatever the Lord tells me to do, and I am more than able to stop doing what the Lord tells me to stop doing. Amen? Because I have the power now, but it doesn't come before the pressing. Now, We spent a lot of time talking about that, but what it comes down to is not my will, but your will be done. As Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. As he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was such a hard thing. The Bible says that literally sweat and blood came out of the pores of his skin because he was in such agony. The torture and the pain didn't start when the soldiers began to beat him and scourge him. It started in the garden. And so it's that place of the breaking of the will. And I want to tell you, when our will is being broken, when I am having to lay down my will for the will of God, it is agony for all of us because we want what we want, and we prove that all the time. Even though he's God, we put boundaries on God. Even though he's God, we let God know, I'll only go this much. I'll only do this much. I'm not going to get uncomfortable. I'm only going to go this far. I'll only serve you this much. I'll only serve you this way if you allow me to do this. I'll only, and we put all these ifs. And I'll only do this. I'll only do this if I can do it my way. And so we do that. God's people do that to him all the time. And we, in a sense, tie his hands because we have our agenda, and we're going to make sure our agenda gets done. So we keep on going through this, and I talked about the fact that the word watch means to be vigilant. It means to be battle ready. And why did Jesus tell his disciples that they needed to be battle ready? Because there's a battle coming. If you're alive and breathing, there's a battle coming. Yeah, you've had battles before, but you know what? You're going to have battles more. They're coming. That devil's coming at you. Discouragement, depression, anxiety, all that stuff's going to try to come at you. All kinds of stuff happens. And I've noticed that the moment you start moving towards God, you're going to feel resistance. It's going to happen. Why? Because it works so good for people. The enemy's very good at getting people to quit. Why? Well, all he's got to do is just give them a little bit of resistance and they quit. We need to understand that as we're watching and we're praying, we're getting battle ready. And as we're watching and praying, God will show you things. Sometimes he will show you things into the future that you need to intercede for. Sometimes God will show you things about yourself. Most importantly, that's what he'll show you. But sometimes he'll show you what he wants you to actually pray for. So in a sense, I say it this way. When I pray, I almost have to pray before I pray, if that makes sense. I need to ask the Lord, what is your will? And then I'm going to pray your will. Because if I ask anything according to his will, he hears it and I have it. If I don't, I'm wasting my breath. It may make me feel spiritual. I may feel like, oh man, I spend 3-4 hours a day praying. Yeah, but did you pray anything that was the will of God? Because that's the only thing that mattered. So again, but we can get into religious ruts and religious things, and we think that's pleasing God. The only thing that's pleasing God when I'm talking to him is either when I am listening to him or I'm praying according to his will. Nothing else matters. Now, I know you don't hear that kind of stuff too often outside of this church, but I'm going to tell you, that's what a real prayer life is about. Now, we talked about the fact that we should live spirit, soul, and body instead of body, soul, and spirit, that we have to allow the spirit man to get in charge. That happens as we spend time with the Father and allow the Holy Spirit to truly saturate us and continually fill us. And so then we saw in the scripture that, you know, James and John come to Jesus and they say, you know, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. And we talked about the fact that that's pretty much a self-centered, humanistic type of prayer, but that's the kind of prayer most people do. Most people's prayer is, God, I want you to do this for me. And then in his kindness, he says, well, what do you want me to do for you? And then he lets them know, you don't even know what you're asking for. Because what they really wanted was glory, but they didn't understand how the glory comes. Their names are written. I mean, we're reading about them. We know all about James and John. They went down in history as apostles of Christ, but they had no idea the cost of that at this moment. So again, in Gethsemane, he's given us a picture of less of me and more of him. And he's shown us how to do that, and he's doing it through watching and praying. Now, I said we kind of ended up last week saying this, that if we're not vigilant and watching and praying, we can easily become like Eli's sons, if you remember that account in the Bible. And his sons were serving as priests in the temple. Now, Eli is the main guy. He's the, you know, the high priest, but then his sons are serving as priests in the temple. And by the way, according to the scripture, as we said last week, we're all priests. God never intended for the priesthood to be just a certain group of people who belong to a specific religious denomination, that those were priests. No, we're all priests, according to the scripture. Kings and priests, according to the scripture. And we've been given a priesthood. And 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And so we are a royal priesthood. Now let's take a look at Eli's sons. And this is just so important. Because, you know, one thing we want to do is we want to raise people up in the ministry. Look, we are not about, and I have pastor friends that do this. I mean, this is just how they operate. They function. But man, they'll put ads out there looking for somebody to come to be an associate pastor or a youth pastor or this kind of executive pastor or this or that. And it becomes kind of a hiring thing. We're looking for somebody. We just want to hire somebody to come in and do this. But the Lord has not led us to do that. What he wants us to do is raise people up from the inside that will take a hold of his anointing in their life and just begin to serve him as a Christian and then let him do the promotion. Amen. And so what's happening here, and this is a concern, because as we're raising up sons, we want to make sure that the sons understand the value, the true value of worship, and not set themselves up for deep failure and a huge trap because their heart may not be right. So you can serve. That's why we're very cautious. We don't just put anybody on the platform. We don't just put anybody teaching. We don't just put anybody in places of influence, because, believe me, I learned the hard way that the scripture says lay hands on no man suddenly, or don't ordain a novice. That's what he's talking about. It doesn't mean don't lay hands on people to pray for them. It means don't authorize. Don't authorize. Don't give too much influence. Why? Because the Bible says they'll get puffed up and go to the same destruction as the devil himself. We don't want to do that. I've made those mistakes. And so I'm always concerned about the sons. Now understand, when I say the sons, we're obviously talking about the sons and the daughters, right? We're talking about God's people, right? But as those sons are serving the Lord, if something is not right in their heart and in their motivation, God does not look kindly upon it. In fact, let's look at what he says about Eli's sons. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, in the ESV, it says, "Now the sons of Eli were worthless men." The word worthless means corrupt scoundrels. Now this is God talking. This is his word, right? The sons of Eli. But they're serving. They're in the church. I mean, they're the top dogs. They're the priests of the day. They're the ones receiving the offerings from the people and offering the sacrifice to God. And God says they were worthless men, corrupt scoundrels. They did not know the Lord. Well, I want to tell you, that's some pretty harsh words for some of God's priests. Would you agree? Now, how many of you would be offended if somebody called you a worthless, corrupt scoundrel? Come on, be honest. None of us would like that. None of us would. But the truth of the matter is what God, because understand, this is coming from God's perspective. And this is coming from the perspective of people who were supposed to be worshiping, because understand, in that day, that was worship. Their form of worship wasn't standing up here singing songs and lifting our hands. And that's not what the idea or the understanding of worship. Worship all had to do with the sacrificial system. And that was their act of worship to God. And God says it's corrupt and calls them scoundrels. Man, that is harsh. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt." Now think about what he's saying. They're doing it, but not out of a heart of worship. They're doing it, but they're really making it about them. In fact, part of what they were doing was taking some of the best stuff that was supposed to be offered to the Lord and taking it to themselves. A lot of people do that in the church today. They take glory that's supposed to belong to the Lord and they take it to themselves. This is why, again, we're very careful about who gets on this platform, because I understand that even for our young people who are learning how to play instruments and be a part of our what we call the praise and worship team, that's a place of influence. It's a place that God takes very serious. It's a place where you better have your heart right or you're set up. You're set up for a trap. And the Lord looks on it and says the sin was very great. Very great. But all they were doing was, how many of you know we can always say, well, all I was doing was, but it says they treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. That's all it took for God to consider them worthless men, corrupt scoundrels. So they were making their service to the Lord again about them and what they wanted instead of what God wanted. And can I tell you that is the trend of the modern day church? It's all about you and what you can do and all of the, you know, again, all the church growth stuff and all that stuff that's been taught for many years is all about how to please people. This is how you please people. This is how you get them to come. This is how you please people. I've even had them tell me, you know, you got to have the right lure. You know, we're supposed to be fishers of men and you got to have the right lure to catch them. You know, sometimes it's got to be something shiny. Got to be something that they want. Got to be something. In the context of Jesus telling them to be fishers of men, it had nothing to do with a lure. They used a net. And not only that, they fished at night in the darkness with light. So again, they were making their service to the Lord about them and what they wanted instead of what God wanted. Why? Because they were hirelings. Jesus warned about people like that. John 10, 12 through 13. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So in a sense, the hired hand, the one who's supposed to be a shepherd but who's not really a shepherd, is actually a wolf himself, in a sense. He's a false prophet. So beware of the hirelings. Also, beware of anyone who tries to pull you out of the Lord's purposes to serve their own purposes or even to serve your own purposes. It's a trap. If anyone, no matter how spiritual you may perceive them to be, is trying to pull you out of serving Christ to serve them, I'm going to tell you, you need to do two things. Rebuke them, first of all, and run from them, second. Now, hear what I'm saying. Listen. People come to church for a lot of different motives. I remember years ago talking about this, and I'm not saying this to embarrass anybody or anything, and if this applied to you, please understand I'm trying to just use an example. You know, we have people that over the years trying to earn more money or whatever, make some side cash, get into some of these marketing programs, pyramid type of programs, and of course do what they're told to do. Go find the people who are your friends and your family and introduce them and try to get them involved into it and tell them how much money they can make and so on and so forth. And then many times what they'll do is, and I've had this happen more than once, if you're a pastor, you become a target, and we want to get you in because you're a pastor and you influence people. And the whole spiel is, but pastor, if we can get you in, you know you're going to be helping these people because they're going to be making more money. But not only that, you're going to make more money. And then it becomes about using the pastor and his influence to reach the people. And it's not reaching them for Jesus. It's reaching them to get money out of their pocket. And I mean, red flags go up in my heart. So years ago, I said that, look, please don't do that. Don't bring that here. You can do that out there all you want, but don't bring that to the church. Don't bring that to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't let them become dollar signs to you. Amen? And so it's the same way with when people become dollar signs to their brothers and sisters or dollar signs to the man behind the pulpit or the pastor of the church or whatever, they've missed it and their worship has been contaminated. And so again, if anyone, no matter how spiritual you may perceive them to be, is trying to pull you out of serving Christ to serve them, rebuke them and run from them. because it's a trap. Listen, you do not want to give a person like that any influence in your life. And if you stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, he'll warn you about people like that. Now, understand, hear me. There are people that get into those things like I'm describing, and they don't know. They really mean well. They don't understand. They don't understand what's happening. They don't necessarily see the spiritual dynamic. And like I said, I've had people, you know, call me, hey, I miss you. I've just been wondering about how you're doing. And, man, let's talk. I really miss you. And then get there, and this has happened twice to me, get there, and they want to push some marketing thing up on me. Because if they can get me, then being a pastor, they figure they'll get all the people under me. And it's an easy target. And I remember being so disappointed and so hurt, because I realized they're not looking for a relationship with me. They're trying to get something out of me for themselves. You never want to make people feel that way. Amen? Yeah. Now, nothing wrong with earning a living. We can do that. Nothing wrong with selling stuff. We can do that. But we got to watch the motive of our heart constantly. And that's why we have to watch and pray constantly. So tell your neighbor, don't let the grass grow over your path. Listen. By the way, we talked about last week that we need to be careful that we're not trying to draw what we need from other people. God is our source. He is our only source. You can't even draw what you need from the pastor. Now, there may be some wisdom that God may give the pastors and spiritual authorities in your life, and there may be some direction and some confirmation that can come from there, but the source is God. Amen. The source is the Holy Spirit. And so you have to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. You cannot draw what you need from the Father. You must watch and pray. Now, we're at a place now in this world where we have to face the reality of the days that we're living in. We can stay where we are and we can do nothing. We can cruise through life. And we can just continue to try to be comfortable, and we can continue to set goals for ourselves, and I want to have this in life, and I want to have that in life, and we can do all of that stuff. But if the Holy Spirit hadn't led that, then again, all of it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's all going to burn up in the end. So as Christians, we can rise up, and we can be those who will watch and pray just as Jesus commanded, and we can be those who make an impact on this world. We can be those who refuse to allow the grass to grow over our paths. See, one of the reasons I said something about that, you know, most people in this church have no idea that the impact that this church has had. Again, not only on our community or even on our state, but also on the nation. And not only on the nation, but around the world. So, look, we are connected. Listen, we are connected with ministries and have been for many, many years, some who have led world leaders to Christ because God puts them in that place that only He can do. So, wars are happening everywhere right now, pretty much on a very large scale. When we can see that nation after nation is facing feelings of uncertainty and fear and hopelessness. But you and I can rise up at this very time with the greatest weapon that God has given to all humanity. And that is the ability to pray, to watch and pray, and to see God do mighty supernatural things literally right in our midst. God can turn around the downward course of any nation and bring revival. Do you believe that? I believe that. But it ain't gonna happen if God's people are just cruising. Remember, he told them to watch and pray. If you don't watch and pray, you're going to go to sleep. And that's exactly what we saw them do. They went to sleep. Jesus got up from there. He went to check on them, and they were sleeping. And he woke them up. The last time, he just let them sleep, right? I'm telling you that the church, yeah, of course I'm tired. Of course life has been hard. But I don't stop watching and praying. Amen? So the watchmen who are truly listening to the Lord would agree that we are in an urgent time in history. And we need to be persistent, watchful, repentant, and be people, biblically based prayer people. And again, as I've said, the Bible tells us what the will of God is. When we pray according to the will of God, He hears us. When we don't, He doesn't. So The enemy would love for us to miss the urgency of this hour by putting our attention on secondary matters. Somebody mentioned earlier, I think it was Pastor Cindy that mentioned earlier about distractions. The word that Brother Mike was sharing was right on point, I believe, from the Holy Spirit. But distractions, the devil is a master distractor. And I'm telling you, he loves to get you, he'll get you putting everything before God, if at all possible. And so we're in a season where we have a significant role in touching this world deeply through watching and praying. We live in a time where every time you turn on the news, I mean, who would have thought that we would see so many mass murders and horrible things going on, mass shootings everywhere and all. And again, and you can't blame the gun, because if they don't have a gun, they'll use a knife or a rock or whatever, right? A car, whatever. You're going to outlaw cars? No. So the point is, there's a problem with the heart of people. And so who would have ever guessed that we'd see that to the level that we see that today? You know, in all kinds of horrific, murderous events, who'd have thought that we'd be seeing that like that? And in fact, it happens so frequently that we're no longer shocked when it happens. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, there was a time when if one of these mass murder things happened, I mean, it would have the entire nation on edge. Now it happens so frequently in so many places that we may hear about it in the news, but even though we're horrified by it, we're not shocked by it. We kind of just know it's going to happen. We need to believe that God will bring breakthrough in any difficult situation through prayer that is according to his will. And applying the wisdom that we get as a result of that prayer. Because I can pray all day long, but if I'm not listening to God and applying the wisdom that he gives me in that prayer, then it's useless. And by the way, I've said this many times, but the most important part of prayer isn't the part that I'm saying, it's the part he's saying. And if I think I'm praying, but I'm not listening to anything the Lord is trying to download to me, I'm not praying, I'm just blabbing. So we apply, we go to prayer and we seek his will. He lets us know what his will is, he may point us to it in the scripture, but he lets us know what his will is, and we begin to apply that to our own lives personally, and then how do I apply that outside of myself to this world? And believe me, he's always wanting to do something in you so he can do something through you. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not just because he wanted to do something in us, it's because he wanted to do something through us. When he saved us from our sin, it wasn't just because he wanted to do something in us, it's because he wanted to do something through us. He tells us to remove the log out of our own eye. Why? So that we can see clearly to remove the splinter out of the other guy's eye. It's to do something. It's always to do something. Those watching in prayer can see with eyes of discernment. And again, many times we may see things in advance because God gives them insight in order to intercede. You know, there are times when God will show you, he will warn you of things to come. There's been a lot of things that in my life I've stood before this church and said, you know, the Lord showed me this, but within 3 to 5 years, this is going to start happening or that's going to start happening. There was another time, I'll never forget, when Hurricane Rita was about to hit, they said it was going to hit Corpus Christi. Now, how many of you know Corpus Christi is a pretty good ways away from us? And they said, this thing's going to hit Corpus Christi. That was the last report. And we had a service, and Pastor Cindy stood in front of this church and said, guys, you better get ready to evacuate. That thing is about to come directly at Lake Charles. Now, that was in 05, this Hurricane Rita. I'll never forget that. And she said, and the Lord showed me that casino boat, it was the first casino boat that they had put in the lake, and showed me that that boat would be removed from the lake, that storm would come in, and it would wash that boat on shore, and it would be sitting on the shore afterwards. And then the city and the casino people are going to be arguing over whose responsibility it is to clean up the mess. I remember that. It was very clear, very vivid. She said, I literally saw it. And that is exactly what happened. Even the city and the casino people arguing over who was going to clean up the mess. That boat was sitting on the land. Now, I don't know if y'all remember that. Anybody remember that? Remember seeing that? And so God can warn you of things, right? In that time, if you're going to watch and pray. And that's not just for pastors to do. The they, when we talk about there are times when they may see in advance or they may have discernment, the they is us, all of us. Amen? And so we're God's people. This is talking about every Christian, not just a group of people that we label intercessors. Now, personally, I think it's a mistake for churches to do this where they say, well, this is my intercessor. This is my intercessor team. These are my intercessors. Now, I understand that there are people who just have more of a passion for it. But scripturally speaking, there is no office of the intercessor. Everybody understand that? Right? And so, scripturally speaking, all of us are supposed to be intercessors. We're all supposed to be our brother's keeper. And so it's important that we understand that. And I've seen people almost like you raise this idea of intercessor up to like it's some other, another office that God added to the church. No, we're all supposed to watch and pray. And I thank God for those who passionately do it and love to do that. But you know what? We all should love to do it and all should be passionate about it. So we are all called to intercede. We're all called to be watching. We're all supposed to be our brother's keeper. Watching and praying can actually change the atmosphere of your community. And if there was ever a time when we needed to be on alert for our communities, it's now. Now, one of the main reasons watching and praying changes the atmosphere of our community is because it changes us. And if we're part of our community. And then ultimately, if you have enough people watching and praying, it's going to change the atmosphere of the community. It can also release the power of God and His anointing in even the darkest of places. So when we watch and pray for our community and our city and our state and our nation and our world, we welcome and honor the Holy Spirit, asking Him to lead us in our prayer. Now, here's the thing. And I'll say this because I'm just being honest. Be careful if you're going to really be a person who starts to watch and pray, and you should be, but be careful because God might actually tell you to do something. You might have to put your faith in action. So be careful. We need to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit and at the initiation of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is not just some learned thing. Can I tell you, you can't teach somebody. Like, you can't give them a formula of how to do it. Prayer has to come from the heart, led by the Holy Spirit. Now, we have a model that Jesus gave His disciples. Right? Acknowledging God as Father, right? And we all know, we probably memorized the Our Father, right? But understand, we can't do it ourselves. We need the power in the Holy Spirit to lead us. Now, John chapter 5, verse 19. I love this. So Jesus says, now who is Jesus? Jesus is God in the flesh, came down to earth, you know, He wrapped Himself in flesh, limited Himself, His glory, to being a human being. Although He was fully God, He's also fully man. And He depended while He was on this earth on the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That's why Jesus never did anything until He started His ministry, and the day He got baptized in water, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended upon Him. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son Himself can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. So if Jesus can do nothing of His own accord, then why in the world would we try? But yet, people do all the time. So sometimes in prayer, He whispers. He whispers to us an impression in our heart as to what to pray. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, you just praying and you just feel like this is, I need to really pray for this. I love it when people, and I do this from time to time too, I love it when people sometimes will call and say, look, man, you just been on my heart. I felt the Lord urging me to pray for you. Or they'll send me a message. I have, you know, friends, people in other states even, that'll happen. Well, that does a lot for people. And so we need to follow the urgings of the Holy Spirit for that. But sometimes He directs us to pray specific scriptures, like He'll point us to a specific scripture to stand on and pray. But either way, we've got to be watchful and attentive to the Spirit's leading, because all prayer should be led by the Spirit. Now, we understand that there is praying in the Spirit, as we understand it, is praying in tongues. But how many of you know all prayer should be led by the Spirit? I mean, what's the other option? Led by the flesh? Led by my own mind? So Ephesians 6:18 tells us that praying at all times, everybody say all times, in the Spirit. And this is capital S, Holy Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit. He's not just talking about praying in tongues here. With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, why do we have to have all perseverance? Well, because that devil, he will never stop coming at you. Temptation will never stop coming at you. Remember, he said, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. What temptation is he telling them that they're going to fall into? It's not just the temptation to go sin or to, you know, smoke something or to drink something. No, it's that temptation to lean to my own understanding and my own strength. It's that temptation to allow fear and anxiety and all of that natural stuff to come and overtake me, because the enemy's coming at you. It's the necessity that we have to stand against an onslaught of the enemy, and I will be tempted to not stand in his power, but to either try to stand in mine or just run away. We position our heart to listen carefully for the knowledge of his will. So with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints, what we're supposed to do is ask the Lord what he's doing, and then we listen, and then we position our heart for that knowledge of what he's saying, and we stand on that. We pray on that. That's why I've often said it's not about asking God for stuff. It's about asking God what he wants and then standing upon the word that he gave you. Isaiah 55, the word comes down from the throne room. He says, my word will not return to me void. I love this picture. The word comes down, but it has to return. How's that word going to return? It returns when you and I return it to him. And then when I return that word that he's spoken, whether it's through his written word or in my spirit that's in agreement with that written word, when I send that word back to him, there's a power connection that happens, and the supernatural and the miraculous can take place. Why? Because I'm standing upon his word. He spoke it. And he said, it won't return to me void. Well, two things have to happen. The word has to be spoken, but it also has to be returned to him. As you begin to look at your community and city and state and nation and the world through the eyes of God and with his heart, realize that it belongs to him. All of it belongs to him. All of those people, whether you like them or not, are so valuable to Jesus that he suffered a cruel and horrific death and he poured out his blood for them. And I'll tell you, that has to become a reality to all of us. Even your worst enemy, even the worst person you could ever possibly imagine, Jesus poured out his blood for. We read in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So God wants you to contend for those people in prayer. He wants you to pray for his authority to rule supreme. If watchmen do not keep their post on a ship during serious weather conditions, it could mean the loss of that ship and every person on board. If you remember the Titanic, that's exactly what happened. It sank very quickly because the watchmen were not doing their job. When you're talking about military terms, if a military watchman is found sleeping, now remember, Jesus told those disciples to watch and pray, but they slept. Jesus is telling his church to watch and pray, but many just sleep. If that watchman leaves their post, abandons their post, they call it, or sleeps on that watch, there are major consequences. Why? Because his actions affect not only him, but also they endanger everyone around. It's not about you, and it's not about me. Amen? It's all about every other person whom God loves and has given his life for. So we're going to wrap this up. Let's learn to be God's watchman. Let's accept the Lord's urgent call to watch and pray. Remember the scripture, our key scripture, Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And then remember this, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What is the temptation? To lean into the flesh instead of the Spirit of God. Why don't you tell your neighbor one more time, don't let the grass grow over your path. Come on, let's talk to him. Let's watch and pray. Father, I pray, show your people. Show them your heart. Show them what's going on. Show them what you would have them do, Father. Lord, we watch. We stand in that place, in that guard for our brothers and sisters. Lord, we watch because you told us to watch. God, I pray, give us a passion and a desire for that. Lord, we're not just trying to go through motions. And Lord, we want our hearts to be genuine before you. Lord, we want to have a true relationship with you, Father. Lord, where we truly can hear what you're trying to say to us. Father, that's how our heart changes. That's how we get your heart. Father, we're not prescribing some kind of religious thing here. We're not prescribing some kind of legalistic thing here. But Father, you called us into real, true relationship with you, an open communication, and you called us to care about what's going on in this world. So Father, today we choose to watch and we choose to pray. And Lord, whatever opportunities we have to do that, Lord, I pray that all throughout the day, people would be able to keep their heart open to hear from you. And keep an open communication with you, knowing that they can speak to you at any time, in any moment, that you know their very thoughts. Lord, we don't want to just go through another Sunday saying we went to church and did church stuff. Father, we want to be changed. We want to be more like you. Lord, we want your word to work effectively in us. And Lord, we want to make an impact on this world. It starts with watching and praying. Father, may we never be found sleeping when we're supposed to be watching. Lord, I know you never told us to do this in our own strength. It's all about tapping into your strength. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you let us know this is your desire and your will. Therefore, you will help us. So we want to honor you with our life. We want to honor you in all that we say and do. Lord, we want to have real relationship with you. I thank you, Lord, that when the enemy comes at us, you will have people who will be battle ready because they took your word into their heart and did something with it. And we thank you for that. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, if you agree, won't you say amen? Amen. Amen.